James chapter number 3 tonight. James chapter number 3, similar to what we did this morning, we're going to be turning a little bit in our Bible, and I encourage you to get your Bible out or use one of the Bibles in front of you as we're going to go to multiple passages of scriptures this evening. It's an interesting Bible study to consider about our tongue or our mouths, and titled tonight's message is "What's Coming Out of Your Mouth?" is a question mark. It's amazing the different things that come and different things that we talk about and different things that many people think that they're doing what's right and righteous. But here in the passages of Scripture, we're going to look at that the tongue doesn't have a life of its own. And we got to remember that, you know, our tongue is controlled by something. And James uses a figure of speech here we're going to look at to describe the activities of the tongue, but in all reality, it all boils down, either I'm being controlled by my flesh, and that's what my tongue is revealing about me, or I'm being controlled by the Spirit of God, and that's what's going to come out. It's the difference between those bitter waters versus the living waters that Jesus talked about in the book of John. But let's look here, and we're going to start off here, and we're going to look at the differences that tongues can give, and I'm going to go to the book of Proverbs and look at the differences there in the book of Proverbs. In one of the chapters, Proverbs talks a lot about the tongue, about how it can use, and then we're going to end up in Colossians, and we're going to look at what our tongue should look like or what we should be using our tongue for. So let's jump right in. It's James chapter number 3. Great verses leading up to this, but we're going to focus on verses 9 through 12. It says, "Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith we curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing." And then there's this phrase here, "My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine fig? So can a fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom." Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, the Bible teaches us a lot about our tongue. It teaches us that it's really something that we're unable to control on our own, and that we need your help. And Lord, I pray that we consider tonight some of the truths about our mouth and our tongue that represents what's going on inside of us. And Lord, that we be people that want to be gracious, and that we be people that want to praise you, but not just praise you, but throughout our lives, continue to praise you with the way we speak, that we would glorify God with our speech and with our tongues. Lord, speak to people's hearts tonight. This is an important lesson to help us understand the value of proper speech, the value of controlling our tongue through the Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's kind of interesting in this passage of Scripture, it says that these things ought not to be so. Talking about using our voice to our tongue to glorify God and praise God, but then using our voice and our tongue to treat men the way that they should not be treated, or treat women or treat children. It reminds me of something I read that Dr. John Phillips had written about the Welsh people. And it says, "Those who attended a Welsh soccer match, especially a championship game, have many stories to tell. It says, while people wait for the event to begin, they will fill a vast stadium with harmonious song. The Welsh truly love to sing. It's their national pastime, or their natural pastime. They instinctively take their parts. They sing the great hymns of the faith. They come readily to their lips, and their tongues sound out a great anthem as in a church. You would think that you were at some type of Christian crusade and not in a soccer match. To which the crowds have come, the whole arena rings and rings with hymns after hymns, all in four majestic part harmony. And God's name is exalted with resounding songs of praise. Then the teams come in, and the fans forget all about the hymns. They watch each play. Just let a player fumble the ball, the goalie failed to block a play, or an umpire to make an unpopular call, and the fans will explode with oaths and curses that would make many people blush. One would think that the destiny of nations, rather than the outcomes of a mere game, hung in balance. The same tongues that a short while before sang the praises of the living God now curse the unfortunate player who makes a mistake that costs their team a goal. And this is kind of what the verses are saying here, but how often do we do the same thing in our lives? One moment, we're singing praises, we're singing hymns, we're lifting our voice in praise and uttering a fervent amen. But within a few hours, things may not go our way. When we're outside the church house, maybe our child misbehaves and we do not respond in a proper way. Maybe a car cuts us off on the highway and we lose our praise of the Lord. Maybe they get something wrong at the restaurant. And that happens sometimes. But the praise that we were using our mouth with turns out to be something that does not glorify God anymore. And don't get me wrong, children need to be corrected. And there's nothing wrong with expecting good service at a restaurant. But at the same time, there's a way to do it in glorifying God. We sing praises. We worship Him with our tongues. And that's what these verses are talking about. When they say, in verse number 9, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men. It's talking about the tongue, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed a blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. So I want to think about a little bit tonight, what's coming out of our mouth. Once again, I don't believe the tongue has any power in its own. It's controlled by one of two things. It's either controlled by our flesh, and when the flesh is being controlling, guess what's going to happen? That bitter side is going to come out. Or it's controlled by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and as we allow Him to take over, you know, you get that sweet, those words that are gracious, those words that are full of grace but also full of truth. Those words are going to help others see Christ in our lives. Let me encourage you tonight. Think about what's coming out of your mouth. Is it something that's controlled by our flesh or something that's controlled by the Holy Spirit of God? Let's now take our Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 10. This past week, as I was considering and praying on what to preach tonight, I went through Proverbs 10 on August 10th, obviously. And there were so many different comparisons between a righteous person's speech versus a unrighteous person. And I found it interesting to consider all the different things that we talk about our mouth and the comparison there that, you know, is it bitter or is it sweet? Are we being controlled by God or are we being controlled by our flesh? And you can see the difference in the comparison. And we're not going to take time to read the whole chapter, but we will read the verses that come with this. And I found it interesting in Proverbs chapter 10, there's a number of different comparisons. Think about these violent words that are talked about. Righteous talk produces blessings, as you're going to see, but wicked talk produces judgment. Look what it says here in verse number 6. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Look what it says in verse number 11. The mouth of the righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Look what it says in verse number 14. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of fools is near destruction. You know, how unruly our tongue is, how much our speech is something that can cause violence and cause destruction, as you see in the scripture here. It said that violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Think about the vain words that people say. Look what it says in verse number 8. Not just the violent words. Think what it says in verse number 8. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. Look what it says in verse number 10. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. Now this word prating, it's referring to an individual who talks too much. Ever met somebody who talks too much? Don't, especially if they're sitting next to you, don't raise your hand. So a prating fool is what these verses are referring to. He's a person who talks without value. They're vain words. He just talks whether he's saying anything of value or not. In contrast, look what the righteous do in verses 19 through 21. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. That means when a person talks and talks and talks and talks, you know what? There's usually plenty of sin in there. There's no wanting for sin. It happens because of their speech. And then it continues on, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. How many of people really thought about that and meditate on that? You know, it doesn't mean that we have to always be talking. We can refrain our lips. The Bible says that's wise. Verse number 20. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. The heart of the wicked is little worth. So you think the comparison there, you got the heart and you got the tongue. Most people would think the heart is more valuable. But they're saying that a person who is controlled and a person that is righteous and a person that is just, when he speaks, is not just as valuable as silver, it's as valuable as choice silver. But a person's heart that is wicked is not very, very valuable at all. How is that exposed? That's exposed through the tongue. Look what it says in verse 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. So you see the comparison. A person who is righteous is someone who's going to be valuable with their speech. It's going to be as choice silver. A person who is maybe not talk as much and uses so much vain language and vain words. A righteous person is someone who can help someone and feed many with wisdom because they choose their words as the Holy Spirit of God allows them to be chosen. But in verse 21, it says, the fools die for want of wisdom. There's a world out there that is in need of wisdom, need of people who are going to have the proper speech and allow God to help them. Let's think about virtuous versus venomous words. We saw violent words. We saw vain words. Look at some of the more comparisons that we find here. Virtuous words versus venomous words. Look what it says in verse 13. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Now, think about that. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. Meaning that they're going to, in his lips, there's going to be understanding that's found. But for a person that's void of understanding, the rod is needed for the back of him. They're not going to learn by just understanding and by hearing, but instead it's something that is going to have to be destructive and punishing. Verse 31, the mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. So the person who's just, the person who's living by faith, the person who's letting the Holy Spirit control, it's going to bring forth the wisdom that's necessary. But the froward tongue, it needs to be gone. Look what it says in verse 32. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh frowardness. You know, they know what's acceptable. They know what needs to be said. They know what's going to be edifying. It's going to be encouraging. Think about one of my favorite verses when it comes to their tongue and their mouth. It's found in Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. So there's a comparison. Don't let anything that's corrupt proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. So what's coming out of our mouth? Is our mouth ones that are filled with violence? Is our mouth ones that are filled with vain? Is our mouth one has venomous words to attack and hurt others, showing anger and frustration? Or is our mouth something that is a wellspring of life? Is it something that is bringing forth wisdom? Is it something that knows what is acceptable? So what's coming out of us today? So you say, Pastor, what am I supposed to know? How am I supposed to know what to say? Let's go now to Colossians chapter number 4. Colossians chapter number 4 is probably some of my favorite verses when it comes to our speech. The Bible is filled with them. I did not think we would want to be here all night just looking at verses when it came to our tongues. We would spend hours upon hours in just the book of Proverbs alone, but you saw the comparison there. You saw with the righteous and how they refrained and how they spoke wisdom and how they were just in their speech, but you saw the wicked, they were froward and they were violent and they were vain in their conversation, and that prating fool will fall. Here we see in Colossians chapter number 4, verse number 6 is the main verse we're going to focus on, but just for sake to kind of catch us up here, verse number 5, we're going to look at four different things that talks about our walk and our talk. Because a lot of people can talk, but can you walk what you're talking? It says in verse number 5 in Colossians chapter number 4, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Now you come to this spot, you know how to ought to answer every man. We need to know, how do we know how to answer every man? It's with the Holy Spirit of God's help. So let's think about four different things that I think might encourage you and help you tonight. First thing is to be wise. Be wise. When it comes to our speech, when it comes to our walk, it says walk in wisdom toward them that are without. To be wise, it means to walk in a careful way. It means that we're considering. We do things based off the knowledge that we've learned from God. True wisdom comes from the Lord. Many of us have knowledge. Many of us have book knowledge. But to have wisdom means that we've taken that knowledge, we've applied it to our lives. And he's saying here in verse number 5, walk in wisdom. Not only do we have this knowledge and this wisdom, we're supposed to walk in wisdom toward those that are without. Now, those that are without could mean a couple different things, but we're going to look at those without Christ. The Bible is saying here that in wisdom, we need to walk to those that are without. And so as we're walking in wisdom means that we should be wise of what we do around people that are unsaved. I think there are certain things that maybe a Christian could discuss with one another, maybe about something about the church, or maybe about discussion about the Word of God, or maybe discussion about their family that does not need to happen in front of an unsaved person that would not understand spiritual things. Sometimes when they hear somebody discuss something and they do not understand and they don't have the Holy Spirit of God to help them through this, and people begin acting unlike Christians and begin acting like the foolish with their mouth, they should be careful what they walk around. Now, should they act foolish anytime? No. But especially when you're around someone who needs Christ, when you're around someone who is in need of a Savior, we should be walking in wisdom, meaning that our words should match what our mouth is saying. Our words should be something that is wise, which many times when we're around an unsaved person, we don't have a problem with that. We feel like we're higher than them. We feel like we are over them. But our walk should also match that. I remember one time reading a story about a pastor. He pastored a church in Atlanta. It says a man in his church got upset with him, didn't like his hard preaching. He hired a private detective to follow him around and report on his conduct. After a few weeks, the detective reported that this pastor, he actually matched his preaching with the way he lived his life. And as a result, that man became a follower of Jesus Christ. It is true that some people say the only Bible some unbelievers will ever read is you. And we need to be careful about the way we walk and about the way we act, because people are making decisions of validity of Christianity based off what they're seeing in your life and what you're living. Now, once again, it's the Holy Spirit of God that does the work. But we ourselves should learn how to behave in a wise way all the time, but especially to those that are without, because the Bible says here, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. When I talk to family members or around other people, I make sure I'm very careful when I'm around people who I think may be unsaved. I don't want to say anything that's going to bring harm to the name of Jesus Christ. My antennas go up. I make sure I'm very careful and trying to make sure I behave myself. Should I do that all the time? Of course I should. But even to those that are without in a greater way. Not only be wise, think about what it says here, be ready. Redeeming the time, be ready. To redeem the time is kind of a commercial term. It means to buy up. It gives the picture of finding something that's on sale and buying all you can afford because the price is so good. I was at Kmart one time. I know Kmart's getting ready probably to close all around the world. And at Kmart, sometimes they have really great discounts. They had these tablecloths there. And we like to have tablecloths sometimes for things. And they had these tablecloths that were regularly $15. And they had marked them down all the way to 97 cents. And that's really cheap. They were cloth tablecloths. If you ever see burgundy tablecloths that have paisley on them, they cost only 97 cents each. That was a good deal. They had about 15 there. So what I did is I first went to make sure that the price was right and asked the lady to scan it. And I went and I picked up pretty much every single tablecloth that would fit on the church tables. Now, there was another lady that came up later on and saw me picking up all the tablecloths. There was two or three that was not going to fit. And she got upset with me saying, that guy took all the tablecloths. She says, I can't believe you took all the tablecloths. I said, ma'am, I got them for the church. There's three there. And I says, and she went and took the three. I almost said to her, I says, you took all the three too. You didn't leave any with anybody else. But she got all agitated even when we were there, she was trying to see if there's other tablecloths that are on sale. She made a couple comments to people passing by. Can you believe that guy took all the tablecloths? And there are things that we use. We didn't go over in abundance, but I bought up because I saw the deal there. And it was something I redeemed the opportunity because it was a great opportunity in my mind. Sometimes that's very valuable. Sometimes it's not the greatest thing. Sometimes I buy too much of something because it's such a great deal and then I don't use it. So it's a danger that's there, but the redeem the time means that when you have the opportunity, you make sure you take every opportunity you have. I took every opportunity that was necessary to take those tablecloths. I actually put everything in the cart to make sure and then put it down, and that's why that lady was not very happy. So here's the question. Are we redeeming the time when it comes to those that are without? Are we taking every opportunity that we have to tell someone else about Jesus Christ? Not only just to tell someone else about Jesus Christ, which is the most important, but also to allow other people to see Christ in you. Sometimes we may not always have the opportunity to have a long witness encounter. But at the same time, people sometimes can see Christ in us. I think that lifestyle evangelism is something that we should try to do with our life, but that's no replacement to telling other people about Jesus Christ. And we should buy up every opportunity we have to speak to someone about Jesus Christ. Are we making the opportunity, most of the opportunities we have in our lives? Life is going by fast, and we should make it count. That's what it's saying here. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. We should make sure that we study such things, and we should understand all the different truths that we have and be able to tell others about Christ. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man to ask if you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. We should be taking each opportunity. We should buying up the time to tell people about Christ. That's something I need to be better at. That's something I think many of us could do better at. Not just when it comes to our soul winning, let's consider other things in our lives. How about our scripture knowledge, about our prayer? Say, Pastor, you focus so much on faithfulness, scripture, prayer, soul winning. You know, that's all you talk about. Those are some of the keys to being a, and one of Pastor Clarence Sexton calls it a five-star Christian, talks about giving and talks about attending church and being a Christian, reading your Bible, soul winning and praying. And it talks about that in our consideration with our speech, we should be ready to give every answer and we should redeem the time by doing it. Sometimes it might mean that we need to be quiet and listen. Sometimes we always need the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God, and sometimes we need discernment on what to say and what words to say. As we learned earlier, that a person sometimes will refrain his lips, will have a few words. That's a wise thing to do as you're listening to someone and showing and understanding their needs. What about our scripture reading? What about our prayer time? Do we redeem the time for that? One preacher put it this way. He said, after doing research and study, he found out that you spend 6 months of your life sitting at stoplights. I think that it might be a little bit longer than that, but you spend 6 months of your life sitting at stoplights, and he encouraged you to redeem that time. He says it's good to have a little prayer list somewhere in your car. You could be praying for certain things. He says it's also, as one of the things I enjoy doing, is taking a verse a day and meditating on a verse. Had somebody give me the advice. He says, hey, if you have a verse a day, you should put it on your screenshot of your phone so that way you can see it every day. When you open up your phone, it comes up first. I don't know how to do that, but that would probably be a good idea. If you have a verse that you want to think about that day or that week, every time you turn your phone on, you see that verse. Same thing with the car. If you're sitting there waiting at a light, use that time instead of being impatient and being unkind and upset. Use the time and redeem the time. Now, doesn't mean he said don't redeem the time by running the red light because you know you had time, you should just go right through the red light. I don't think that would be wise. That wouldn't be redeeming the time because you could hurt yourself. But he said you could redeem the time when it comes to Bible reading and by praying. I use many times my conversations when I'm driving is when I call people through my car, through the phone. It goes through the car, so it's not unsafe, but I use that time and redeem the time while I am traveling because I know there's lots of calls and people I need to speak with. So we see here to be ready, to be wise. Also, the next thing is to be gracious. Look what the Bible says here. Let your speech always with grace and season with salt that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Let your speech be gracious. It's important that we communicate the words of grace and truth to those who do not know Christ, but also to those that are in need. Now, if we're saying here that our hearts should be extenuating the grace, we should let your speech be always. Now, we wouldn't probably think that if it was not the case. If we would like to think that sometimes we don't need to be gracious, sometimes we need to be hard, but this word always is written there. It says, let your speech be always with grace. And many times people go off on unbelievers. Many times people go off on tangents. They maybe talk about a moral issue in their culture and they become so agitated and so angry about something, they lose that graciousness that Christ wants us to have. You think about it, it's told us in the Bible that Jesus was full of grace and truth. Even in Luke 4:22, the Bible says, and all bear him witness,
and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? And Luke is saying, hey, it was graciousness. And Ephesians 4:22, we are supposed to minister grace unto the hearers. We are encouraged to let our speech be always of grace. Our speech always needs to be set apart for the glory of God. It's the decision. And what I'm getting ready to say is going to bring glory to God. And what I'm going to say is something that other people are going to see Christ in me. Instead of reacting in anger or agitation, our speech needs to be defined as being holy and not easily perturbed. Instead of speech that tears down, but is a speech that promotes and that lifts up, because it says we can minister grace into the edifying. So not only be gracious, next thing is be appetizing. Not only be ready, be wise, be gracious, but be appetizing. Look what it says, season with salt. I don't know about you, but I like salt. And I don't have high blood pressure, and I don't eat a lot of salt, but I like and I enjoy salt. Salt back in the Bible times, or back at least in older times, was something that they would use as a healing element. It was applied to wounds in ancient culture for healing. Salt also enhances flavor and makes food more appetizing. Our speech is supposed to have an enhancing healing effect upon our conversations. Our salt, our speech, is something that should make people thirsty, have a desire to want to know something that you have. Make people more interested in your lives. Are you attracting people to Christ? Are you making people more thirsty? Are you trying to tell people, I'm full of people of you? I am fed up with people like you. When you speak like that, I have no desire to hear any more of what you have to say. And that sometimes happens. And sometimes it's because of their pride, and sometimes it's because of sin and their bitterness. But at the same time, the Bible's saying here, let your speech be always with grace, but also seasoned with salt. There is a consolation for our speech. Our speech should seek to heal the wounds of others that they're dealing with, but also to make others interested in what you're saying too, because you have the words of life. So what's coming out of your mouth tonight? Are they things that you're ready and you're walking in wisdom? Are you being gracious with your words? Are they something that's going to cause people to want to know more about what you're saying? Are they something that is turning other people off? The Bible speaks so much, but there's a comparison here. Don't be praising God and then feel like you can abuse men. Don't be singing. Don't be like those people at the Welsh soccer game, that they sit there and they sang praises to the Lord and praises to God and lifted his name on high. But then just a few hours later, when it came to something as frivolous as a game, they would curse and they would be angry and they would yell. Let not those things so to be. Don't let those happen in your life. Now, we shouldn't act one way in church and then act a different way at home. You say, Pastor, you mean the way I act at home is the way I should act at church? No. I'm saying to make sure you do right here because you know it's right, but also make sure you do right at home because you know it's right also. It's not putting on a front. It's not putting on a mask. It's something that you should be willing to do all along, and what shows that is what comes out of our mouth. It's our speech. Now, remember, our tongue has no power in its own. It's what's inside us that comes out. So if we're letting God and the indwelling Holy Spirit lead and direct our lives, when there is sweet spiritness that comes out, guess who gets the praise? He does, because we can't control the tongue on our own. But when we start acting fleshly and saying things and running off at the mouth and, you know, just doing all those different things, you know what? It's our flesh. We have to deal with that. We have to understand that. We have to repent of that, and we have to ask God for help with that. Because our tongue is unruly. We cannot control ourselves. No man can tame it, the Bible says. But with the Spirit of God, he can make it happen. So what is coming out your mouth? Are they things that speak of wisdom, ready to give an answer, graciously, and appetizing? Are you causing more people to want to know Christ through your speech? Or are you sending people away because they're fed up, don't want to have anything to do with you? Remember, Christ was full of truth and grace, full of truth and mercy. They sat back and they listened to him and they said how gracious his words were. They were shocked because they had never heard someone speak like that before. So that was Christ. I can't speak like that. the Spirit of Christ lives in you. And those words can come out of you also. Be careful what you use your tongue for. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads.